This is FCB Radio, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbradio.com.
Necessary rough when I bust into your zones, microphones get crushed out. I break the sucker down with dust. I do what I must, with the rush.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are back, good people. Welcome to Necessary Roughness. Once again, this is Darby Oda Kingpin Marl filling in for my brother Eric E. Will Williams alongside Christy Maggard.
Hey, hey.
And CJ Cobb.
Put him up, 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 put him up.
He gets his whole body into it, you guys.
You got to. I'm full into anything I'm doing, I'm fully in it. That's right. Mind, heart, body, and soul. Two of those, I think, are the same thing. But we ain't going to talk about that.
As you see, we are already ready to get this party started.
I took my V8 energy on the way here, and I'm still yawning.
V8 energy?
Yeah, they're really delicious, by the way.
Delicious.
So, hey, V8 energy, y'all need to hit us up.
That's not how I sound. Yeah.
Cut a sponsorship check.
Yes, V8. Give me a call. Shoot me an email.
I like
that. DM me on the Twitters.
Fusion Splash, whatever it's called.
I've had that before. Vegetable. Yeah,
it's pretty good. Yeah.
You should buy that in college when I got them scholarship checks.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I was on energy drinks in college, man, until it made me crash. Like, I used to, like, down them things, man.
I didn't start on any, like, caffeinated energy thing until after college. Once
really?
I started working, yeah, I'd start getting coffees and
before I got my degree, I actually went to broadcasting school straight out of college, the same place that CJ went to. And I was interning at the time, and I had a DJ shift at the school's radio station from 6 to 8.
AM?
No, PM.
Okay.
No, hell no. I wouldn't be up that early. 6 to 8 PM. And then eventually it went from 6 to 8 to 6 to 10. So I get out of class at 5 o'clock because my session was the 1:30 to 5:30.
Right? Uh huh.
So I had it at 6 o'clock. Then I had another DJ shift at an old sports station, Sports Talk Cleveland. Shout out to Bruce Drennan. He was my first program director.
Hey, yeah.
That's where I learned a lot of stuff from. So I had that from 8 a.m. No, it was from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. That's where it started. Then the DJ who came after us would never show up. Because basically the sports station, what it would do sports during the day and then music at night. So I was on during the music.
Sure.
And so the guy after us, because it was a team of us, it was me and three other people, he would never show up on time so that the on-air people to do the morning show at 8 o'clock would never be able to get in. So they start saying, all right, you got to stay here until 8 o'clock. To let the morning show.
What?
So I'm doing six to 10, and then basically now 1:30 to 8.
As an on-air personality, my gosh.
Two different shows. Like, this is so, when I hear people talk about the internship, I feel like the old dude. Y'all ain't did nothing back in my day. I had to do a DJ shift. Like, there was actually one time, because it was a team of 4 or 5 of us, we had to take turns, like, crashing in the corner for, like, 5 or 10 minutes. So it was like, all right, you run the show now. You and a couple other guys, y'all talk about whatever y'all going to talk about. Me and the other dude, he on one side of the room, I'm on the other side. We going to crash real quick for 10 minutes and then swap it out. And that's how we made it through. And that's how I started getting on energy drinks. What they used to make back in the day, they don't have it on. They don't have it on in the market anymore because I'm assuming it probably gave people heart attacks.
You drink Surge?
No, I drank. They used to make Red Bull Cola. And that joint was ooh-wee. First of all, it was good because it tastes like Pepsi, but you can imagine the amount of caffeine that was in it.
Oh,
because
yeah,
you have a Red Bull.
Plus cola.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would they even do that?
Because they can. This is America. Not American.
You looked so disgusted with the state of the country. You're like, why would they even make that?
Energy drink cola? It just, that's too much.
Right.
Is it?
For what?
Obviously it is if they took it off the market.
Oh, but. Yeah. It was. I hadn't been able to find those things. Like, they had took it off for since. Like, this is probably about 10, 12 years ago when they took it off. And they ain't been back since. And I went and Googled it and looked online one day.
Yeah.
And it's like, they don't even sell it no more. They had to take that thing off the market.
Well, when I think about it, that does kind of make sense. Because we, back when I was a young lad, back in Jacksonville, Florida, my mom used to get these. We used to go to Pick and Save, which is no longer there anymore. That's long gone now. But we go to Pick and Save, and she would get these sports drinks called All Sport, which were like carbonated.
I remember All Sport.
Yeah, carbonated sport. What do you call it?
Drink.
Sport drink.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to like get you back in the game or something like that.
Yeah.
But it did not. It cramped you up pretty bad.
Really?
Because it's carbonated. What sports drink is carbonated now?
And it probably had a lot of sugar in it, too.
It did have a lot of sugar in it, which is why I cramped. That's how I experienced my first cramp.
Oh, wow.
Came back from either basketball practice or football practice, was laying down in my room. And at this point, I'm a kid. I don't know nothing about stretching or cooling down afterwards. So I'm just la-la-la-la-la, All Sport, pound it, chug it, whatever. Tastes delicious, and then next thing I know,
your body said cramp.
Yeah, cramp.
God,
and I was like, "What?" I was like, "What is this?" Like I had an out of body experience, and I was like, "Whoa!" I'm looking at myself on the bed, like I was having a seizure or something. I'm like, screaming, grabbing my leg, and I'm yelling for my mom.
Oh my goodness!
And shout out to both my parents, mom and dad, because mom,
they looked out for you.
Well. No. I think mom was upstairs. She couldn't hear me. But my dad was downstairs laying in the living room, as he did back in those days. He never comes to, like, check on us. Whenever we were doing something, whenever you hear loud noises, he did, like, that Kevin Hart skit. What y'all doing in there?
Yeah.
He would just lay in the middle of the
floor. Better not be in that toilet.
Better not be in that toilet. So he's just yelling, boy, what's wrong with you? I was like, my leg. He said, look, get some hot water and some salt. my leg.
He probably wanted you to soak it.
He wanted me to drink it.
Drink some salt water. Which is basically like saline, which is what they use in IVs.
Yeah.
So, it's, just to get yourself hydrated.
Poor man's saline.
Well.
Now, hey, do y'all remember this drink? I had it once in the original formula. It was freaking disgusting. But they eventually took it off the market because it was like killing people. The original Four Loko.
Ooh, yeah.
No,
you remember that?
I know I've heard you talk about it before, but no, I never had it.
That was big in my college years.
Yeah, energy and alcohol, like, all together.
Oh,
that's how Four Loko used to be.
That's how a lot of mirrors got broken.
Aren't those, what was that?
Property
Wasn't
damage.
There like a Red Bull like shot?
I mean,
cherry
or a
bomb?
Drink.
They do that in bars.
Chrissy
just showed us where she was at. Where she used
to
go.
Isn't there an Irish car bomb?
Yes.
What does that have in it?
Yep.
Isn't that alcohol and energy drink? Or is that something different?
I think so.
Could be.
I have not had one of those in a very long time.
Isn't there like coffee in that?
Something like that.
Not an Irish car bomb.
No?
No. It's a Guinness, and then you
definitely Guinness.
You drop a shot in it. And it goes down to the bottom, and then you drink it.
Yes, I know. I've done them before.
But I don't know what. I can't remember what's in it. Anyway, all right. Sorry, but alcohol and energy—that just seems like. Well, I married an Irishman.
Ah, so we less.
Maggard. Very. Mixed Central over here. Yeah. So that's my husband, but he always gets really offended because I always highlight my German heritage because I'm like almost 100% German. Uh-huh. And he's like, hey, well, you know, there are other things. So, you know, my kids, we always go to this German-American festival and all this stuff. And
so you're not showing his side enough love?
Yeah, probably. But we used to go to the Dublin Irish Festival. So if you're in Central Ohio, or anywhere in Ohio, really. It's worth the trip. The Dublin Irish Festival is a good time. It's worth the trip in Dublin, Ohio, because there's Dublin, Ireland, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so they always put on a really good Irish festival down there, and we used to go, so...
Okay.
And then we had kids, and then you stopped going to things. So, you know, there's that.
So, speaking of trips, Kareem Hunt was tripping when he was at the Nine a few months back, and now he's a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah.
So, as many of you know, he was he got in trouble for, you can't call it domestic violence. It's assault. We'll say assault.
Yes, yeah. Assault. Hitting
assault
a woman.
On a woman. At a hotel, at a downtown hotel in Cleveland. He also was not, charged with anything. And I found that to be interesting as well. Because the DA looked at it, or the prosecutor, the county prosecutor looked at it and chose, for whatever reason, whatever they saw in the case, it was some other facts or whatever that we don't know about that made them choose not to charge him. Well, now, obviously, he is part of Cleveland Browns, and it's become a big controversy. So, CJ, let's go to you first. What are your thoughts about Kareem Hunt getting another opportunity in the NFL?
I mean, it's crazy. I think the fact that he wasn't charged definitely helped his case getting back on into the NFL. But I hate to say that it's starting to become like a trend now with these NFL players, and maybe not even just NFL players, but athletes in general, just getting themselves into these type of situations. And then, you know, having to deal with the repercussions and the consequences of it. I did see the video that they put out, and obviously you could tell that he was upset about something. They say she said something to him.
Yeah, that she called him the N-word or
right,
something like that.
Right, so obviously there was no audio in the video that I was watching, so I couldn't hear. But obviously, I mean, because he had walked off at one point, walked off and then came back. And, you know, did the deal with knocking her down
and then kicking
at her. I can see where it's a controversy. I definitely understand both sides of it. I mean, one side, people think, you know, people make mistakes in the heat of the moment. Sometimes you can't fault people for how they react in the heat of the moment, especially when there's an implication of a racial slur in there.
Right. And alcohol.
And then at the other end of it, you know, you have to, when you're an athlete in that position, when you have that type of platform, you have to be smarter. You have to be cognizant of who you're around, where you are, and what situations you find yourself in. You just have to pay attention to that stuff, because whatever you do, no matter how small you think it is, it's going to get found out and it's going to get blown up all over the media tabloid. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think everybody deserves a second chance, but it's a hard one for me. You know, it's difficult, because at the same time, you see Ray Rice, you know, he had the video, and the woman that he assaulted became his wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, they both came out together and publicly, you know, said, hey, domestic violence is not good. You know, but we recognize what we did. We apologize, or he apologized, and, you know, they wanted to move forward and still get a chance. And he still has not gotten a chance back in the NFL. But other players who have been in similar situations have gotten, you know, back in the league, or never got immediately kicked off teams. So it's a touchy subject, I guess.
All right. So, Christy, we have 2 minutes left. So get some of your thoughts out now, and then we'll continue this conversation on the other side.
It was a little long-winded.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We were talking about energy drinks for a while there. So, well, you know, I think a lot of people forget that during that course of the investigation into everything that happened, he did this in Port Clinton too. So people are like, oh, give him a second chance, but he's already done this once before. And I'm all for giving people the benefit of the doubt. I probably do that to a fault. I'm like, wait, hold on. Let me just take a step back. Let me see what's what. As it turns out, she instigated the situation in Cleveland, which I think is probably why he wasn't charged with anything, because she struck him first.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But also, wasn't he let go from two teams? The team that he was initially on, and then he went to somewhere else, and I thought they
No, from my understanding, he didn't get traded. He was signed as a free agent.
Oh, okay, all right.
So
right,
from
right.
my understanding, okay. he was cut by Kansas City.
City, right, okay.
And then he was a free agent.
Free agent, yeah. Okay, all right, I'm sorry. I thought there was another team in there somewhere, but that makes sense. But I have a hard time wanting to just be like, oh no, it's totally okay. Like, let's just blame the alcohol. What is he going to do when he comes to Cleveland? Not ever drink so that he doesn't get into a situation that ends this way? Now, I'm not saying it's his fault because she did instigate it.
Right.
I will say that. There's proof of that. She called him a racial slur and she hit him. So, you know, maybe don't do that as a woman. But at the same time, I mean, he still got himself there. He got himself into that situation that led up to that. So, yeah. Anyway, we'll have to continue that on the other side.
Yeah, we'll pick this up when we come back. You're listening to Necessary Record.
This is Darby or the Kingpin Morrow. I want you to check out my new song, Unconditional, featuring Dan Smith.
Not admit it. I know that I'm my harshest critic. I'm just trying to deal with it. I take it back because this ain't complicated. Yo, it's simple. We all looking for something that's unconditional.
No, I'm not perfect, no. Made my mistakes, and no. But all I want is love.
Get Unconditional now on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Tidal, and all other major digital outlets from FCB Records.
Welcome back. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter at NRCLE and on Facebook at Necessary Roughness Radio. I wish y'all could hear some of the conversations that go on.
Yeah, we're going to have to start recording in between.
Yeah, and then we'll end up bleeping half of
the off air. We can just post that to the page on our own.
The unnecessary roughness.
Yeah.
No call for some of the things we talk about.
Right. Yeah, you're yeah.
No,
you're right.
Chill at all. Chrissy, let everybody know how to follow you on social media.
At CL Maggard, MAGGARD on the tweets. I'm getting very popular on there, so please follow me.
All right. CJ.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna follow that up. Getting very popular with the tweets.
Like, tooting my own horn over
that's
here.
That's right. Yeah, you can follow me on all Twitter, Instagram, at KingCobb70, Facebook, CJ Cobb. You'll see me. I'm the dude doing the G5, jumping up in the air in my old Cleveland Gladiator uniform. So, Oh, actually, no, it's not. It's not that anymore. I've evolved. I've grown. I'm dapper now. All right, I'm cultured. I have a suit on in my
yes.
profile picture now.
Yes, with your bespectacled appearance. Yes.
All right, and of course you can follow me on all social media platforms at D the Kingpin. That's DTheKingpin. Now, before the break, we were discussing Kareem Hunt. I am going to call the audible real quick, and we are going to discuss that a little bit more, and we're going to let it run. If we end up skipping what we were originally supposed to talk about, then it is what it is. Christy, you can go ahead and finish your thoughts on this.
So, you know, I don't really fault him for what happened, because like I said, she instigated it, but I also want him to take some responsibility for allowing himself to get that intoxicated or be with that woman or, you know, whatever. Let's all take responsibility for our own actions. But also what concerns me coming to Cleveland is he going to be a Josh Gordon 2.0? Because Josh Gordon, before he left to go get his ring with the Patriots, sorry, I had to take a second to laugh about that. He was in my rundown so many times for he's going back to rehab in court for parental things with three different baby mamas and this, that, and the other. And at some point in time, we have to understand that I get that people, you know, need second chances and things like that. In my opinion, given the fact that this has happened twice, he's already kind of had a second chance to stop doing this and, you know, kind of get get some composure or whatever you want to call it. So I'm just concerned that this is going to be a habit or is a precursor to something else down the road. And it's not the professional rehab league. This is the NFL. So we kind of need to, you know.
Well, how many times did he get in trouble in Kansas City?
I think this was the only time in Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He got in trouble in college too, didn't he? Was there something in college that happened, if I'm not mistaken?
I don't know when the Port Clinton incident happened, so that could have been at Toledo.
In college, yeah. So my thing is this. It is a tough one. It's a tough call, like CJ said. And normally I'm always the guy making fun of Christy being concerned about people's off-the-field stuff.
Right.
But I think in this instance it's a valid issue because the thing about it wasn't – when you watch that video, it wasn't an issue of, oh, I just made a mistake. He was enraged. And at the end of the day, now granted, it is a very strong possibility that she might have called him the N-word. And for people who don't, if you're not black or you don't know black folks like that, that is something that can get a lot of people enraged.
Right.
It makes you see red. But even with that, you still have to have some sort of composure. You can't just, it was bad enough that he knocked her down, then he came back and kicked her too. Like,
right.
you can't do that.
Right.
And here's the other thing too. People are like, all right, well, you know, he was drunk, whatever, whatever. For me, it's like this. If you get like that when you drink, you shouldn't drink.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I don't understand angry drunks. Like when I'm drinking, I'm trying to have fun, celebrating, be happy.
Oh.
I'm one of those dudes that tell everybody how much they love them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You were about to say when I'm drunk, I'm like this. Oh, yeah, it's your intervention right now.
I'm like the happiest drunk there is.
Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? That's what we do.
Just having a good time.
95% of the FCB radio network doesn't have any problem pounding them down.
Don't try and lump me in with the rest of you hooligans.
No. So I do understand your concern. The flip side, though, is the question of, does that mean that you should not be able to have a job in your chosen profession for life? And that's the stuff that I kind of struggle with, because if you look at any other, like people say, oh, well, if he was anything else, he would lose his job. Really? Because there's politicians with worse records than him.
Oh yeah, money buys everything.
There are executives. Why is it? And people say, okay, well, you know, football. There's football players. They're making millions of dollars. They should be held to a higher standard. But how come if football players can be held to a higher standard, how come politicians or the president or entertainers in general?
They absolutely should be.
They don't. They're not held to that same standard.
Right. But they're not. They should be. They all should be.
But they're not.
Right.
So and that's the world that we live in. So is it fair to say, okay, you did this really stupid thing and nobody is justifying or trying to push away what he did. But is it okay to say you did this really stupid thing, therefore you cannot work in your chosen profession for life? I hear a lot of people say being in the NFL is a privilege, mm-hmm. not a right. I agree with that. But here's my other issue. I know a lot of people who grew up and from places where I came from that struggled to have jobs, period, that didn't have jobs, period. Like, having a job, period, is a privilege and not a right. So you can't say, oh, it's about, well, if you're in the NFL, it's a privilege. Well, you got a stable job. That's a privilege. So you can't be like, oh, well, the NFL players have to be held to a higher standard, but you're not going to hold other people to a higher standard when any time that you are making money at the thing that you love to do, that is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So is it okay? On the one hand, what he did was really bad and really dumb,
right?
And there was no excuse for it, regardless of what she did. There was a lot of other people there that could have held, that was supposed to, their job was to get in between y'all and break that up. Why are you here? If you can't, okay, you can't hold him back, then y'all need to get in between them and stop it from escalating any further. So he shouldn't put his hands on her. We all agree with that. But does that mean that he should not be able to work in his chosen profession for the rest of his life? We'll go CJ, we'll go Christy, and then we'll move on.
No, I don't think it means that, but I will say this to what you're talking about. When it comes to football players or just athletes in general, the reason why I feel like people hold athletes to a higher standard is because athletes seem to be more polarized or more polarizing in the media. Because, you know, you see them on the ESPN, you see the highlights, you see them making these big time plays and big time athletic moves and, you know, winning the game with the last shot or, you know, running 95 yards for a touchdown to win the game and stuff like that. So these larger than life athletes are so commercialized around the world too. And when you have these athletes that get into situations like this, when they're supposed to be like role models, because a lot of little kids look up to these guys and want to.
Billions.
Yeah, they want to be like you hear, I want to be like Mike.
Right.
You know, people will always ask little kids, hey, what's your favorite player? Who's your favorite player? And they, you know, rattle off whoever their favorite player is. And that's, I feel like that's why athletes are held to such a higher standards, because they're so much more polarizing in the grand scheme of things. But at the same time, we are still human.
Mm-hmm.
Athletes, just like the guy who goes to work at McDonald's or a grocery store or a law firm or a politician, we're all humans. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So we all have our moments and our buttons that get pushed. And we get angry. We get enraged. And when people get enraged, sometimes common sense goes out the window.
Yeah.
And
absolutely,
this is what I was talking about off air a little bit, is when that happens, and thank God I have this, you know, because I, you know, my mom and dad, they raised me with this. But think about the outcome. Before you get to that enraged state, think about the outcome of what can happen. So for a guy like me, I'm 6'4", over 300 pounds, but I'm slim fit. You know, I'm just going to put that out there. I'm slim fit. You know what I'm saying? I look good.
You don't have to turn sideways to get through the door. Right. Totally. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I were to get in a situation where there was a young lady or even a young guy who was like smaller than me and the police came up on us, who would be looked upon as the aggressor? As soon as, without knowing anything, who is going to be looked upon as the guy who started it all and who is probably at fault? It would be me, the big football player, 6'4", 300-plus pound dude,
right,
you know, with a beard. Mm-hmm. Obviously. Mm-hmm. So you have to think about the consequences of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Christy.
Yeah, you're so right. And I... I think it's one of the reasons why they got rid of tobacco. They had a no tobacco policy in baseball for a long time, because all these kids were starting to chew to be like the big leaguers.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, that's a problem. So while I totally agree that they are human like everybody else, it's so easy to forget that. And it's hard to explain that to kids when they're forming in their formidable years and they're forming role models and who they want to be like. And there's a precedent there. And there are plenty of athletes who set good precedent. I mean, like LeBron James, he's not my favorite person. We all know that. But he sets a good example for kids. He's not out there hitting women. He's starting schools. He's, you know, doing things the right way. And I know that that's difficult. And I know it's hard. And I know that nobody's perfect. But at the end of the day, that's something that you have to keep in the back of your mind. I'll never forget, this isn't the exact same thing, but in my little small town, I was a lifeguard for many years. I was a swim coach, swim lesson instructor, was there all the time. And I was in the grocery store with my mom, and I babysat all the kids in the neighborhood and everything like that. And this little kid, who I can't remember if I recognized them or not, but they were like, mom, that's a lifeguard. That's a lifeguard at the pool. Like I was a celebrity. Okay. That's never happened since, before or after, but it made me realize like, oh snap. Like you never know who's watching you and what they're going to emulate. And from then on, I had to make sure that as an 18-year-old, I had to look both ways before I crossed the street, because that's what we tell kids to do. But if I don't do it, how hypocritical am I? I'm going to tell all these other kids to follow the rules, but I'm not going to do it. And that's who apparently some of them look up to, the nerdy ones, I guess. But at any rate, so it's just something that you got to think about. And it is a really difficult question to answer.
Yeah. So before we go to break, we're getting ready to go to break for the rundown coming up. But the one thing I want to add, though, is I understand the point that's being made about the football players being examples and things like that. I guess the issue that I have with that, it's more of a philosophical issue, because for me, the most important influence to a child should be the influence that's in their house.
Should be.
So I have an issue. Like, when I look at, we put athletes on such a pedestal, we put entertainers on such a pedestal, and then we can't wait to knock them off when they do something bad or do something stupid or even do something that we think they shouldn't do, whether it's, even if it's not bad or wrong or stupid or whatever, we can't wait to knock them off of the pedestal. But the problem is, to me, I think that says more about us as a society than it does about the players and about the entertainers, because they are human. So if that's the case, then we need to look at ourselves and look at the fact that we have this celebrity worship culture that we live in right now, and how the football player has a bigger influence on the kid than the dad. To me, that's a problem. So I think that's a larger conversation that we need to have. I understand that this is the world that we live in now, and I do agree that you need to be careful about the example that you set. But I also think it sets, when we talk about precedent, I think it sets a bad precedent that is the society that we live in now, that we are looking at athletes and entertainers to be kids' mothers and fathers and accountants and pastors and teachers and all of these different things. I think that sets a bad precedent. So, CJ, you look like you got a point to make, so make it real quick.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, I mean, you think about the households now, man, TV raises children.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, so what you see on TV is who? The athletes, all the entertainers, and then the media loves a juicy bad story.
Like, yep.
So when something goes wrong, that will get way more play than when something good happens.
No question. Yeah. All right, stay tuned when we come back. We have the rundown next on Necessary Roughness.
This is Jessica Lavish with the Outlaws. We know that racism still exists in our country, but what about slavery? Human trafficking, a form of modern-day slavery, is where people profit from the control and exploitation of others by means of force, fraud, and coercion. Tragically, no country, community, or individual is immune from the vast injustice. Human trafficking is driven by demand. Instead of contributing to the problem, we can be part of the solution. If we eliminate the demand, we eliminate human trafficking. For more information, follow hashtag demand no more.
Welcome back to Necessary Roughness. Once again, this is Darvio the Kingpin Marl filling in for my brother Eric E. Will Williams alongside Christy Mack.
Hey, hey.
And CJ Cobb.
Yes, indeed. It is I.
And don't forget to like us on Facebook at Necessary Roughness Radio and follow the Twitter page on at NRCLE. And now is the time of the world famous, world renowned.
Christy,
with all of the hottest sports news in the place to be right now.
I love you, Christy. I love you, my God. I love you.
Were you just speaking in tongues right there?
I think I did.
A little aggressive.
I just had a conniption or something.
That was a little aggressive.
The Holy Ghost caught me.
He's rolling on the floor.
Christy Mackard.
Woo woo.
Let's do this.
Thank you so much. So Trevor Bauer, a.k.a. Bauer Outage, won his salary arbitration with the Indians this week, or actually I should say last week, for the second season in a row. Bauer was awarded $6.25 million last year and will make $13 million for the 2019 season. The Indians had countered with $11 million. And he's not the only one. Several other players also won their arbitrations. Speaking of fair, pro golfer Matt Kuchar is adamant that paying his fill-in caddy, David Gerald Ortiz, $5,000 after his Mayakoba Classic win in November was fair. Kuchar made $1.296 million for his win. Yeah.
So he got $1.26 million and the other dude got $5,000?
Yep.
Wow.
Even though caddy deals vary, it's pretty typical for a 10% bonus for a win. So if you're unfamiliar with golf like I am, it's kind of like, I mean, that's even less than a restaurant tip. Like, so 10% of the win monies should go to the caddy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That ain't 10%.
I know.
I went to school for communications, not math, but I know that's not 10%.
Right?
The funny thing is, I hear $5,000, and I've literally never seen $5,000 in my bank account at one time.
Right. Right.
So I'm like, $5,000? That's a lot of money.
And this is for one day. or, well, in a week. Usually they last more than one day. But anyway, despite recent scrutiny, though, Kuchar remains firm that he was upfront with Ortiz about payment, and even paid more than the originally agreed upon amount of $4,000. After the story broke, Kuchar offered Ortiz another $15,000, which apparently he declined. Ortiz commented, quote, "Matt is a good person and a great player. He treated me very well," end quote. Both Kuchar and Ortiz said they are disappointed with how things turned out. And since this happened, I believe Kuchar has reached out and paid him like $35,000 or something like that.
Well, that's
yeah,
still
like
not what he was supposed to get, but that's better than where he started.
Yeah, something. Yeah, I forgot to write it down. That's my fault. I'm sorry, listeners. But he did. It's you know, several days after the story, right, you know, heard about the story.
I would have been mad.
But you know what's interesting though? Ortiz still declined the $15,000.
Maybe he thought it was like a pity.
Probably, and Kuchar was under pressure already because like people were saying he was so cheap and everything like that. But also, part of me is kind of like, well, if that's actually what they agreed on,
yeah,
that's true too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it?
You get what you agree to,
right?
Yeah,
and they agreed on four, and he paid five. Which, okay, in the grand scheme of things, you know, everything like that, it is less than what is typically. But if Ortiz agreed to it, I don't really know what's that unfair about it. I feel like maybe this shouldn't be as big of a story as it is, but, you know, it is what it is.
It's good to see both of them, like, on the same page, though. They're both like, you know what, this is way bigger than it needs to be. You know, I agree to this. Yeah. I'm disappointed on how all this is spinning out of control. But
right.
I think also he paid that money. He probably feels better about paying that dude that money,
right,
just because he kind of had his back. Like, no, this I agreed to that. No, it's cool.
Yeah, and so, he didn't make any poor comments about him or anything
right.
like that. We also have to remember that he was a fill-in caddy. He is not Kuchar's
He's not the
full-time caddy.
Right. Okay, well, that changes things, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And here's something. Joel Embiid hurdled actress Regina King, who many of you might remember from the sports movie Jerry Maguire.
Yes.
She played Rod Tidwell's wife. She's done a lot since then, by the way, but that's just... A lot
of
people
remember. It's
like a
20-year-old reference.
Well, plus it's sports. I'm keeping it relevant. who was sitting courtside at the 76ers game. Embiid was going after a loose ball, headed out of bounds, and decided to leap, like, literally all his body over King, ultimately landing feet first on a statistician.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Embiid made the kind gesture to help the poor fella up and, quote-unquote, dust him off. He kind of, like, brushed his shirt a little bit, who remained in the rest of the game. King tweeted her thanks and thanks to God and Embiid's athleticism along with a video of the leap. So Embiid said that the statistician would definitely feel it tomorrow, and I believe it because he all the way into him.
Wow.
Yeah. Syracuse head coach, bad news, guys. Sorry about that. But Jim Boeheim was the driver of the vehicle that struck and killed 51-year-old Jorge Jimenez.
Wow.
Yeah. Jimenez was a passenger in another vehicle that was in another initial unrelated accident that apparently was due to weather.
Oh my goodness.
He and the driver were out looking at the car that was in the middle of 690, which is a highway in Syracuse. Boeheim was with his wife and their daughter on their way home from dinner with friends after a Syracuse win when he swerved to avoid the vehicle in the road and struck Jimenez. Sobriety tests were administered at the scene for both drivers, Boeheim and the driver of the other vehicle, who's unidentified at this time. Both came back negative. It does not appear that speed was a factor either. Boeheim was not issued a ticket and has fully cooperated and even diverted other drivers with the light on his cell phone after that accident occurred.
Wow, that's all. Wow.
Yeah, man. I know. I can't even imagine. imagine. Syracuse police chief said, quote, at this time, we have no reason to believe that there are criminal charges that will be coming for anyone, end quote. By all accounts, it appears a tragic accident, and it is unknown if Boeheim will coach against Duke this coming weekend. So
when did this happen again?
This week, earlier this week. A couple days ago, I think.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I can't even imagine that. I mean, it doesn't appear that he did anything wrong. It was just unfortunate circumstances, and both the pedestrians, the driver of the other vehicle, and Yaminez were just walking in the road. So even if you're involved in an accident, please be cognizant of where you are and what you're doing, and just be aware of your surroundings. USA Gymnastics announced Lili Wang as the new CEO to USA Gymnastics to continue to try to be the sole governing body of United States Gymnastics.
I thought they were going to get rid of
they
USA
were they
Gymnastics.
It was looking that way, and they were, I think they're certain bodies are trying to disassemble it because they haven't been successful in getting someone in there that hasn't been involved with the Larry Nassar incident.
Right.
But this is recent. She's going to start in March. And Wang is a former gymnastic star herself at the University of Michigan and led the U.S. in the junior Pan Am Games in the 90s. I'm going to call her a last chance Wang. And I hope that she's got a really good positive attitude.
Christy.
She knows everything. Hey, this is the last chance for USA Gymnastics. That's all I'm going to say. If she,
so, like, what would happen if it went away? Would it just be another body or something that would
replace it? Yeah, yeah. And they would probably, I don't even know if there would be a whole governing body. I think it would just be separate, and then it would fall on the IOC or the Olympic Committee probably to put together a gymnastics team. And then last but certainly not least, Colin Kaepernick reached a settlement with the NFL in regards to his collusion case. No details coming out about that.
Of course.
Right. I think that's probably part of the agreement is the
confidentiality.
Yes, yeah. Confidentiality. Mm-hmm. Thank you. In addition to that, the New Alliance of American Football, or the AAF, reached out to Cap to join the league, but apparently Cap wanted $20 million more to consider playing. All AAF players received a 3-year, $250,000 non-guaranteed contract.
So you get more than a whole team.
Yeah.
Now, there was no official reports, but the unofficial reports is that he might have gotten between $60 and $80 million from the NFL.
So, which is funny to me. Oh, also, Tim Tebow declined, but he's with spring training with the Mets. But what's funny to me, and we can bleed over, is doesn't he want to be playing? And he doesn't need the money?
I don't know.
So I'm really scratching my head about this.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So we'll delve into that a little bit when we come back. And then we'll transition on to our last topic of the day here on Necessary Roughness.
Yo, this is Darvio the Kingpin Morrow, and I want you to check out my brand new song called Trust Me featuring Madeline Hayes.
Cause he out doing what he do, and I'm out doing what I do, but still thinking about you. How did we get caught up in this? Been knowing each other forever, and it's never been
and
like
she telling
this.
Me just, you wanna chill for a minute and see if we can put this thing back together when we finish. Just
get Trust Me now on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Tidal, Pandora, and all other major digital outlets from FCB Records, The Orchard, and Sony Music Entertainment.
Welcome back to Necessary Roughness. This is Darby the Kingpin Morrow, and for my brother E. Will, alongside Christy Maggart.
Hey, hey.
CJ Cox.
Now, wait a minute. Put some respect on my name when you say it's the incomparable.
There he goes.
Immeasurable. One and only. That means he is not replicated or duplicated. I am one in a million, CJ King Cobb. That's how you properly introduce me from now on.
Christy, let everybody know how to follow you on social media.
She's just going to ignore that, huh?
Yep. There's only one thing to do in this situation.
You're right.
It's just ignore it and move on. At CL Maggard, MAGGARD, on the Twitter sphere.
CJ?
Oh, now you want me to talk? All right, yeah.
Now that you got it all out of your
Follow me at King Cobb 70 on all social media platforms.
And you can follow me on all social media platforms at D the Kingpin. That's DTheKingpin. All right, now, so before the break, we were discussing Colin Kaepernick and his allegedly massive settlement from the NFL. Mm-hmm. And Christine, you brought up an interesting point, and I think I've heard other people mention this on television as well, that some people, that one of the reasons why Colin Kaepernick has not gotten a job in the NFL yet, and I don't know if this is true or not, or if they're just trying to make excuses, but for the sake of conversation, one of the reasons is that people are unsure if he even wants to play football anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very interesting idea, because you look at, he had the opportunity for the AAF,
right,
and was like, yo, you got to give me $20 million. Now, maybe it's just a situation of he wants to play football, but he's only going to play it for the amount of money that he wants to get paid. That's a possibility, but it does kind of make you go, like, do you really want to play football or not?
Right. I mean, it does for me. He is doing well. He has a contract with Nike. He just got a gargantuan settlement. We don't know confirmed exact amounts, and we never will for confidentiality reasons. But we know it's huge from the NFL. He doesn't need the money. So if you really wanted to play the sport that you love, you're going to play for $250,000. I'm not really sure where the issue would be. And all the players are making the same amount. This is a startup league. They just started last year. Is that right?
This year is the first season.
Yeah. So it would probably be, if he wanted to play next season or whatever. But I'm just like, you could be huge for that league, and could do a lot of things. And if you are what you say you are, help him out.
He would dominate anyway. So,
right.
CJ, your thoughts real quick before we transition.
Yeah, man, and before I get started on my thoughts, hey, shouts out to the people in the AAF, man, because I got some former teammates
that play in that.
Shouts out to my man Nick Seether, Kid O'Brien.
Kid is over there.
Kid is playing for Birmingham.
Shout out to Kid O'Brien.
Nick Truesdale, who went to UC with me, Nick Temple, and Jeff Luck. Also UC players that they were there after I was there, but I had the opportunity to run into them, and two great young men. So my guy Jordan McCray doing big things. His brother Justin plays for the Packers, so I'm glad to see both of them doing well. It just started this year, and for me, it kind of goes into maybe he thinks he's worth more than what they're willing to pay. Somebody of my status, somebody of my skill, somebody with my name and brand is worth $20 million.
Right.
To put my name and brand to this league, which will take it to another level, I should get paid what I'm asking for. So it could be that. It could be the fact that, hey, football is still a very aggressive physical sport, and if he gets hurt playing in this, that doesn't help his chances to get back to the NFL, because now he's damaged goods. So,
but do you think that settling his collusion case, he still has a chance to get back in the NFL anyway?
I don't think he has a great chance, just because of it. At this point now, Colin Kaepernick's name is just too synonymous with like a circus, like a chaos. It'll always bring some sort of bad press or media coverage to whatever locker room he comes to. And I don't think any team or any owner wants to deal with that right now.
That's a very good point. Now, real quick, before we get out of here, we are going to transition to this next topic, because I wanted to make sure that we had enough time for this, because I want to see Christy's head explode. So, obviously, Zion Williamson was injured.
Right.
Recently.
Grade 1 knee sprain.
And there's been a lot of conversations about coming up about college in general and the NCAA, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to quote Boogie Cousins. They asked him about this, and I want to know what you think, Christy. He said, college is bull bleep. Well, knowing what I know now, college is bull bleep. College basketball in the NCAA is bull bleep. So my advice to him is, do what's best for you and your family. Obviously, college, it does nothing for Zion at this point. You've proven you're the number one pick coming out. You've proven your talent. Get ready for the next level because it's happening. That's my opinion, knowing what I know now. Obviously, when I was at that age, you enjoyed the moment. You enjoying the experience and all that. But there are so many risks involved to get to the ultimate goal, which is this level. So just do what's best for him and his family. I love my experience in college, Cousins said. But with that being said, just how crooked the whole NCAA business is, I actually saw a post the other day where I think the highest ticket for that UNC-Duke game was $2,500 to $3,500. How much does Zion Williamson see? That's who they're coming to see, so how much of that is he getting? Actually, who does it go to? How does it benefit any player on that team? But if they were to get $20 and a free meal, they're this bad kid. They get a bad rep, uncoachable, or thugs, or whatever the case may be. So it's bull bleep. It's been bull bleep. So as the resident defender of college and the NCAA, Christy, your thoughts.
Okay, deep breaths. I was fine until you got to the end of that, and then, like, I felt this slow rage building up in me that I was like, smack that guy. Well, first and foremost, I'm going to start off with a quote from Williamson to NCAA.com, which, okay, so I guess it's to NCAA.com, but still, he said it. Quote, even if they would have had the NBA out of high school road, Williamson said, I still would have come to college. You're never going to get this experience again. There's a lot that goes on, and this is why I get so frustrated, because people only ever look at human beings as a dollar sign, and that there's nothing to be gained by going to college and no experience to be had, because if you get hurt, then you don't make any money and blah, 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 blah. And that is not, we were talking earlier about how parents need to parent their kids and be involved. And so we have a societal focus on professional athletes and, you know, that celebrity. We have a societal focus on not higher education, no learning, nothing. What Zion Williamson is getting out of it is a free ride for an education. He is getting a free education. He's probably getting room and board covered. He's getting a lot. He's getting really good quality coaching from Coach Krzyzewski. He's getting really good care from the best people. I mean, he's getting coached by an Olympic coach. That's what he's getting for free. And all the other experiences that come with college. He's maturing. He's getting invaluable experience. He's getting a lot from that. And
you see the
money,
smoke coming from Christie's.
Oh, my God. I'm, like, sweating. I don't even know right now. Jeff's making it so much worse.
Yeah, Jeff brought us in.
But, and all that money is benefiting the entire university. That's providing scholarship opportunities for other students. It's providing opportunities for the sports program in general. It's bringing a lot of things to that university in that area, and it's helping a lot of other students.
CJ, real quick, your thoughts. We're running a little bit behind.
I know.
Time,
I was trying to talk out all the time.
So go ahead.
I will say this. I agree on some of the terms
no,
with you.
No, you don't.
Some of it.
Nobody agrees with me.
The real thing I agree on is in college, you meet some of like your best friends
right.
for life,
yeah.
especially as an athlete. So I will agree that the experience in college is great for that.
Right.
But as far as for free, let me tell you about my knees that hurt still, my back, my blood, sweat, tears, stress, everything that I've left.
You're not paying
in college.
For your education.
Let
it's
him
a
get
financial
it.
Paid,
thing.
I paid with my blood and my body.
You started this, Darvio.
I paid
Don't
with my blood and my body for my scholarship, okay? For an opportunity to go play, yes. Basketball, I feel, is a lot different than football. And basketball, you can come. Some people are so mature out of high school, body-wise, they can go play in the NBA.
Right.
Body-wise,
yes. I feel like that's the chance that you have every right to explore. But as far as, you know, you're getting this for free and college people shouldn't be paid, I don't totally agree with that, man. I think college kids should get some sort of compensation for what they have to go through, because the schedules, the things they have to deal with, they have to be both. Remember, they are students and athletes, so they are double.
Student comes first.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, I'm just telling you.
As you all snicker, snicker.
Yeah,
well, because nobody in the building agrees with
you. A lot of those student athletes.
That's a societal standard that we need to change.
They weren't brought to that university because they can read at a 6th, 7th grade level.
Hey, some do. Some do.
Real quick, we're already running out of time.
Now I'm angry.
I got Christy started. I knew it was going to happen when I brought that up. But real quick, we're going to go around the room because some people are saying he shouldn't play any more games this college season. He should just get ready for the draft. Do you agree with that, yes or no?
Oof. Can I put like a yes asterisk?
Make it quick.
If he's thinking about beyond college, then no. You're done. But if he truly enjoys the experience there in college, then live in the moment right there. Have fun.
He's going to be the number one pick.
Right. You're going to go to the NBA.
Yeah.
And it's just a level one knee sprain, so you can still play. You can bounce back from that. That's just a mental game there.
Christy, I know your answer already, but go ahead.
No, I mean, you don't. I think it's up to him and Coach K. I think they need to make that decision together. I think it's up to him. Duke is a very high ranked seed.
You surprised me.
So they're probably going to go pretty far in the tournament.
Anyway, yeah.
So that's up to you as a college athlete. Do you want to play in a Final Four?
All right, we are out of here. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at NRCLE and on Facebook at Necessary Roughness Radio.
This ain't over, Christy.
Peace.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.